Oh, sorry. Hari Bol. Okay.
So usually just do one or two verses, or should just read through?
Okay. Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Ajaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Ajaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Good. So we are just going to be looking at the a synopsis of this chapter, and then we'll get on to the texts, some of them at least, okay? And this is chapter 5 from the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the chapter is entitled The Activities of Shakshi Gopal. You all know the story, but we're going to go through it. Here we are. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the fifth chapter in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya. After passing through Yajapur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the town of Cuttack, which is still by the same name, and there went to see the temple of Shakshi Gopal. While there, he heard the story of Shakshi Gopal from the mouth of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Very good. Once there were two Brahmins, one elderly and the other young, who were inhabitants of a place known as Vidyanagar. After touring many places of pilgrimage, the two Brahmins finally reached Vrindavan. The elderly brother was very satisfied. Yeah. Very satisfied with the service of the young Brahmin, and he wanted to offer him his youngest daughter in marriage. The young Brahmin received the promise of his elder before the Gopal deity of Vrindavan. Thus, the Gopal deity acted as a witness. When the two Brahmins returned to Vidyanagara, the younger Brahmin raised the question of this marriage. But the elderly Brahmin, due to obligation to his friends and wife, answered, because she wasn't nice, okay, I wouldn't do that for any, answered that he could not remember his promise. Because of this, the younger Brahmin returned to Vrindavan and narrated the whole story to Gopalaji. Thus, Gopalaji, being obliged by the young man's devotional service, accompanied him to southern India. Gopalaji followed the younger Brahmin, who could hear the, what kind of sound? Ding, ding. Tinkling sound of Gopalaji's ankle, ding, 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 bells. When all the respectable gentlemen of Vidyanagara were assembled, Gopalaji testified to the promise of the elderly Brahmin. Thus the marriage was performed. Later, the king of that country constructed a fine temple for Gopal. Afterwards, King Purushottam Dev of Orissa was insulted by the king of Cuttack, who refused to give him his daughter in and called him a sweeper of Lord Jagannath. With the help of Lord Jagannath, King Purushottam Dev fought the king of Cuttack and defeated him. Thus he took charge of both the king's daughter and the state of Cuttack as well. At that time, Gopalaji, being very much obligated by the devotional service of King Purushottam Dev, was brought to the town of Cuttack. And after hearing this narration, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Gopal in great ecstasy of love of God. From Cuttack, he went to Bhuvaneshwar and saw the temple of Lord Shiva. In this way, he gradually arrived at Kamalapur, and on the banks of the Bargi River, he came to the temple of Lord Shiva, where he entrusted his sannyas staff into three pieces and threw it into the Bargi River at a place known as Antaranala. Being angry and not getting his staff back, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the company of Nityananda Prabhu and went alone to see the Jagannath Temple. Haribol! Thank you. We're going to move along to text 23. Okay, so this is the conversation between the elderly Brahmin and the younger Brahmin. Younger Brahmin speaks, he says, on text 23, "Sir, I am not a suitable bridegroom for your daughter. I render service to you only for the satisfaction of Krishna." And purport. Both Brahmins were pure Vaishnavas. The younger man took special care of the older one simply to please Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, chapter 19, text 21, Krishna says, "Madbhakta puja byadika." It is better to render service to my devotee. Thus, according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is better to be a servant of the servant of God. One should not try to serve Krishna directly. A pure Vaishnava serves a servant of Krishna and identifies himself as a servant of a servant of Krishna. This is pleasing to Lord Krishna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms this philosophy, Charya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payichikiba. Unless one serves a liberated Vaishnava, he cannot attain liberation by directly serving Krishna. He must serve the servant of Krishna, Hare Krishna. So just a little bit about that. In our tradition, the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, we don't really worship God. Now that might sound profound, stunning, surprising, shocking, whatever. The reason why we would say that is because it is not a direct access to Krishna. We work through the channel of his devotees. And indeed, if we want to get to the spiritual world, which is one of the fringe benefits of being a devotee, then you take that process. You recognize who are Krishna's devotees, serve them, and do like them. Okay? Even if you don't like some, because chemistry doesn't always have it that way. Psychophysically, we are not always meant to be together. I know some Prabhus where I'll go, "Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, how are you, Prabhu?" and just move along. Just because the chemistry is not always right. Some people like to be cynical, and they're devotees. And personally, I don't like to be around cynical people. So those are the Hare Krishna. But still, they're doing a great service, even if somebody seems to be of a cynical character, says, "Wow, you know, I have to be very careful how I behave because criticism will come if I don't watch myself." And so they are doing a kind of service to keep some of us in check. So everybody's doing some kind of service. That's the way, I guess, to look at it. And this is the way to reach Krishna's lotus feet. It's through his devotees. I was going to say on this matter, we're in a part of the United States here where there's a lot of folks who like Jesus. Okay? And we don't mind Jesus. He's a cool Jewish boy. And he's more than just that. You know, he did so many things for so many people. And so sometimes you have some folks that say this, maybe in the neighborhood, they say that there's only one way, no one cometh unto the Father but through me. So one explanation behind that is really the endorsement that's given here of our Vaishnava philosophy, that you don't go to God directly. You do it through the channel of Guru, Vaishnav, Shastra, etc., like that. It's not a direct access. And it's okay. There's no problem with not going directly, because really it's kind of like taking the scenic route. If you want to go to New York from here, you take the major highways, right? The 4-lane, 6-lane, whatever, where everyone's whizzing by fast. And you get there in a short amount of time. But some people just like to take the scenic route. And the scenic route means, meeting a bunch, going through the little towns and slowing down, it's down to 80, what is it? No, I'm sorry, I have to think about kilometers or miles. So down to 40 miles an hour, right? Or 30. Watch, we love our children, You get a chance to see, the towns along the way. It's actually a sweeter approach to travel. Take your time. For instance, if you're doing like marathon walks, I remember when I first started doing long walks, I would be quite anxious. And I say, I see a sign, 100 kilometers down the road. It says, I've got to get there. And I start thinking about, how long it will take, and I've got to keep up a certain pace. And after a while, after going through that kind of ordeal for some time, I just figured, okay, relax, Swami. I had to tell myself, relax, enjoy the walk. You get there when you get there. Don't worry about it. It's more of a sattvic approach, So you can say that maybe trying to go the direct route is very passionate. Then definitely it is. It's higher speed, higher risk of accidents. Certainly that's the way it is. I don't want to deal with you guys. I just want to deal with Prabhupada, or just want to deal with my guru. Have you ever heard that philosophy sometimes? And I hear some boos in the background. Okay, so it is there, but it's not our culture. It's not our philosophy. You have to actually work through personalities, devotees. Krishna will get, you'll get to Krishna eventually. But just enjoy the ride. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the process. After all, we do want to get to the point where we can transcend the vidhi or the vidhi bhakti aspect of our lives, which is rules and regulations. We want to get beyond that, and we want to be able to enjoy our service. So we can approach everything begrudgingly, and it is a kind of devotional service. I'm chanting my rounds. Kind of like the attitude, I got to chant my rounds now, Prabhu. And you can switch that off and turn it over to, I get to chant my rounds, Prabhu. It's a different approach. So if we can look at this philosophy. Now, when we're talking to our Christian friends, they may not be sold on what you have to say. You might say, yes, I agree. It's not to God we go, it's through his representative. And you might have to just leave it at that and, give a little this and a kiss, whatever you want, whatever works, and just get on with your life and they with theirs. But it's nice to get on some common ground platform with our friends that are in our midst, isn't it? So that's, you can maybe play up on that philosophy a little bit. Okay, let's move on. One more shloka. Verse, perhaps. Lord Krishna is very much pleased by service rendered to Brahmins And when the, hey, there you go. And when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases. I'll read it once again. Lord Krishna is very pleased by service rendered to Brahmins. And when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the younger Brahmin rendered service to the older one with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. It was not a matter of ordinary worldly dealings. Krishna is pleased when a Vaishnava is rendered service because the younger Brahmin served the older one. Lord Gopal agreed to become a witness of the marriage negotiation in order to maintain the prestige of both devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would certainly not have liked to hear about marital dealings unless such dealings were exchanged between two Vaishnavas. Marriage arrangements and ceremonies belong to ordinary material karmakand sections of the scriptures. The Vaishnavas, however, are not interested in any kind of karmakand dealings. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, karmakand jnanakand kevala vishera bandha. For a Vaishnava, the karmakand and jnanakand sections of the Vedas are unnecessary. Indeed, a real Vaishnava takes these sections as a poison pot vishera bandha. Sometimes we take part in a marriage ceremony for our disciples, but this does not mean that we are interested in karma kand activities. Sometimes, not knowing the Vaishnav philosophy, an outsider criticizes such activity, maintaining that a sannyasi should not take part in a marriage ceremony between a young boy and a young girl. However, this is not a karma kand activity because our purpose is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. We are giving all facility to the I am a general. Okay, we are giving all facility to the general populace to take to Krishna consciousness. And in order to fix the devotees in give me a C, 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 O, O, N, N, N. Concentration, yes. And in order to fix the devotees in concentration on the service of the Lord, marriage is sometimes allowed. We have experienced that such married couples actually render very important service to the mission. Therefore, one should not misunderstand when a sannyasi takes part in a ceremony. Shri and took great pleasure in about the marriage ceremony between the young and the daughter of the elderly Brahmin. Haribol. Again. So, as most devotees know, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has established its Grihastha Vision team, which is meant to sort of clear the air of foggy attitudes towards marriage and to bring about the truth of healthy, wholesome family life. So as we can see, most people take that track in our movement, and there's nothing wrong with it. And it's not that you're fallen, and it's not that you fall into a deep, dark hole or pit or well or whatever, one that you can't get out of. Those are some of the attitudes that sometimes we've sort of embraced in the early days. And, you know, hopefully that's behind us forever. Because if somebody's actually, you know, becoming married to someone, one it's between two Vaishnavas, you can understand or appreciate that they're making a real serious effort, you know, to stay locked in Krishna conscious activities. After all, you're marrying another Vaishnava. You're marrying someone who's going to actually complement, you know, where you're weak, that person is strong. Where that person is weak, you are strong. You complement each other. And, yeah, maybe it's a Mars character and a Venus character, but opposites do attract. I'm sure you noticed. And so sometimes it makes for, you know, a very great situation. Srila Prabhupada recognized the great efforts and important activities executed by couples in the Krishna consciousness movement. I'm sure most of you have read The Miracle on Second Avenue. Mukunda Maharaj's book. Anybody read that? Yep. Okay. It's in your store. Buy it. Making a sales pitch. I saw it yesterday. It's great. So it first came out in Mayapur during the GBC meetings. And all the GBC members got copies. And then, of course, they shared it. So between meetings, or even devotees were not getting all the sleep they normally want to, or maybe even skipping out on some meetings they were obliged to attend. But why? Because they were reading about the first marriage in ISKCON, reading about, you know, the three couples that were dispatched by Srila Prabhupada to go off to Europe and start the mission there. And so Prabhupada very much valued the efforts of devotees who teamed together as a couple. And so that Prabhupada gave endorsement to that kind of life. So in Krishna consciousness, we don't need to think of marriage in terms of a karmakanda practice, but rather it's a devotional effort because, you know, everything that Srila Prabhupada has given is, you know, is a Krishna-centric activity. You know, two people are coming together because they're trying to help each other in Krishna consciousness. And that's the kind of exchange or, the kind of verbiage that Prabhupada gave at a marriage ceremony. You're marrying this person so you can help the, you know, like each other in devotional service. So that's the attitude. So we don't need to see this arrangement or marital arrangements as poison pots. And if it was like that, if just talking about marriages, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't be interested in it. Because again, it was Krishna-centric. He was interested in the story. Because as a sannyasi, he would not really need to go there. There's lots of other stories available. But, you know, everybody likes the story of a marriage. And in most traditions, most cultures, marriage is a very important aspect of people's lives, if not the most important thing. And hopefully it'll just stay that way, you know, save and except if someone decides mutually, you know, between the two people, okay, let's think about vanaprast and maybe sannyas. But I've seen that's pretty rare at this stage of the game in our ISKCON development. There will be some people who will go that path, but the main thing is that Krishna has to be the center of your life, regardless of the ashram. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, we're going to a few more verses. You want to get ready? Okay. Text 25. The older Brahmin replied, "My dear boy, do not doubt me. I will give you my daughter in charity. I have already decided this." The young Brahmin said, "You have a wife and sons, and you have a large circle of relatives and friends. Without the consent of all your friends and relatives, it is not possible to give me your daughter in charity. Just consider the story of Queen Rukmini and her father Bhishmaka. King Bhishmaka wanted to give his daughter Rukmini in charity to Krishna, but Rukmini, his eldest son, objected. Therefore, he could not carry out his decision." Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "Bandhunam ichatang dhatum krishnaya bhaginim nripa tato nivarya krishnadvid Brukmi Chaibyam Amanyata. King Bhishmaka of Vidarbha wanted to offer Lord Krishna his daughter, Rukmini, but the Rukmi, the eldest of his sons, objected. Therefore, Bhishmaka withdrew his decision and decided to offer Rukmini to the king of Chedi, Shishupal, who was a cousin of Krishna's. However, Rukmini conceived of a trick. She sent She sent a letter to Krishna asking him to kidnap her. That was more of an elopement, really. But anyways, thus, in order to please Rukmini, who was his great devotee, Krishna kidnapped her. There he ensued a great fight between Krishna and the opposing party, headed by Rukmini's brother Rukmi. Rukmi was defeated, and because of his harsh words against Krishna, he was about to be killed. But he was saved at the request of Rukmini. However, Krishna shaved off all of Rukmi's hair with his sword. Sri Balaram did not like this, and so, to please Rukmini, Balaram rebuked Krishna. Very good. Very well. Text 29. The elderly Brahmin said, My daughter is my own property. If I choose to give my property to someone, who has the power to stop me? Text 30. My dear boy, I will give you my daughter to you in charity, and I will neglect the position of all others. Don't doubt me in this regard. Just accept my proposal. The younger Brahmin replied, if you have decided to give your young daughter to me, then say so before the Gopal deity. Coming before Gopal, the elderly Brahmin said, my dear Lord, please witness that I give my daughter to this boy. And purport, the last one. In India, it is don't keep me here forever. Still. It is still the custom for a daughter to be offered to someone simply by word. This is called Vagdatta. This means that the father, brother, or guardian of a girl has given his word that she will be married to a certain man. Consequently, that daughter cannot be married to anyone else. She is reserved by virtue of the honest words of the father or guardian. There are many instances in which the parents of a female child have given someone a verbal promise that their daughter will be married to his son. Both parties agree to wait until the boy and girl are grown up, and then the marriage takes place. Following this custom, which is very old in India, the elderly Brahmin promised to give his daughter to the younger Brahmin in charity. And he promised this before the Gopal deity. In India, the custom is to honor any promise made before the deity. Such a promise cannot be canceled. In Indian villages, whenever there is a
Quarrel. Who said quarrel? Honeymoon.
Whenever there is a quarrel between two parties, they go to a temple to settle the quarrel. Whatever is spoken in front of the deity is taken to be true, for no one would dare lie before the deity. This same principle was followed in the battle of Kurukshetra. There, in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre, by not becoming God conscious, human society is deteriorating. Very good. Throw that garland over there. The society is deteriorating. Come on, Prabhu. Mercy. Okay. Human society is deteriorating to the lowest standard of animal life. This Krishna movement is very essential to reviving God consciousness among the general populace. If people actually become God conscious, all quarrels can be settled outside of court. Wow, that's good. As happened in the case of the two Brahmins whose disagreement was settled by the witness Gopal. Jai Haribol. Okay, so we went through 10 shlokas and some purports. Now we'll get on to the next part of our program. And what we're going to do, any questions, quickies? Yes. A garland? All right. So now what we'll do is we'll make our stage over there. So we'll ask the women if they can slide over this way, do some sliding yoga, and come over this way. Okay. Okay, we're doing a little sound checking while I bring to your attention this small performance. Oh, are you okay? Whoa. Okay, you all right? I thought you were going to dance too. Okay, can the women move back just a little bit more? And you can actually fill up the space too. Some of the guys might want to come up here. Okay, so what we want to do is just give you a little introduction into this. For some years, I've been thinking what to do about the, you know, Chaitanya's verses, which we call Shikshastakam. And, you know, everybody has heard of the Da Vinci Code, right? So we've got Chaitanya's code, okay? And we thought people should hear about it. But as it is, it comes across quite religious and not secular enough for the public. So when I write plays or, you know, some narratives for dance or whatever the case may be, that the intent is to try to bridge, you know, make a bridge between the us and the public. Because sometimes we tend to be a little bit closed in our little community. Okay, that's plenty loud. It's working. Okay. We get a sneak preview. And so we thought to, we came up with something that takes 10 minutes long. And, you know, that's kind of been my meditation for a while. How to bring people around to Prabhupada's books. How to get them to come to Krishna consciousness. Because for many people, it's a big leap. It's like a Hanuman's leap to go from where they are now to come to being a vegetarian and chanting 16 rounds and all these other things. So we like to actually give people a chance, you know. And so through cultural presentations such as what we're going to do here, you know, you get an idea of what we're doing. So we're going to make this presentation on the bus tour when the opportunity arises. And there's a song we'd like you to sing at the end to join in with, and it goes, chant, 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 chant the holy name. Can you sing that? Chant, 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 chant the holy name. Life, 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 never be the same. Will never be. Okay, good. So you can do that, and you can clap too. Everybody knows how to clap. Whoa, whoa, clap, 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 whoa, yeah, ah. Okay, Jeff, thank you very much. So now, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, our great spiritual master, on this very special day, and also recognizing that tomorrow is the anniversary of the incorporation of ISKCON, we'd like to present to you Chaitanya's verses, and this is being danced out by one of our bus kids. Can I say that? Bus boys? Or bus devotees, all right. Gojurma Gowda. Haribol, let's hear it for him. This is a silent. There we go. Chito Darpanamara Janam Baba Mahadavagna Nirvapanam Shriya Khairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vijavadu Jivanam Anandam Vurivarudanam Partivadam Purnam Rukta Svadanam Sarvatmasnatamandaranjate Shri Krishna Sarvatanam. Ladies and gentlemen, Chaitanya's verses. There's victory in the chanting of Krishna's name, which cleanses the heart from being insane, from karma collected over time in vain, extinguishing the fire of material life, birth and death and physical strife. This chamber is a proof on the fire of material gravity, sending awesome cooling rays like the moon, moon, moon. It elevates us all to the state of bliss, allowing everyone a taste you won't want to miss. It's the joy we are truly searching for, with wisdom at its deep spirit. Your name, beneficial to all, you're known by the names that we can call, like Krishna, Govinda, and Gopal. Support comes to the big and the small. Power is invested in your names for all. No hard and fast rules for names so true, all of which grant access to you. But I am so unfortunate that my attraction to them is so weak. It is best to chant with humility. Be as humble as you can possibly be, like a blade of grass, you see, and be tolerant like a tree. And false ego, discard it. Respect all others. In such a state of mind, one can chant incessantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. O All Powerful One, I have no desire for wealth, nor sensual pleasures, nor do I seek attention and popularity. I only want to offer my devotions. Life after life after life. O Krishna, son of Nanda, I am yours. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into an ocean of birth and death. Please, please pick me up from this ocean and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. Oh, Krishna, when will my eyes be shedding tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your name? When will my voice choke up with emotions? When will the hairs of my body stand on end, being stunned from hearing this sound vibration? Oh, Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears keep flowing, and I feel so alone when you appear. Not to be present. I know only you, and it will remain so, even if you handle me roughly with your embrace, or make me broken-hearted when you appear absent. You are completely free to do anything and everything, for you are my guiding master, unconditionally.
One old man and his wife sitting together. The wife is requesting the husband, old husband, chant, chant, chant. And the husband is replying, can't, can't, can't.
Chaitur Ghatanam Marjanam Baba Mahadavadu Nivartanam Shri Kalvarga Chantikam Vitanam Kedyabadu Jeevanam Ananda Kedyavardhanam Kritipadam Purnam Yathasvadanam Sarvatmasnapanam Parambi Jayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Chant, 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 chant the holy name. Life, life, life will never be the same. Chant, 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 chant the holy name.
Chant Hare Krishna.
Chant, 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 chant the holy name. Life, life, life will never be the same. Chant, 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 chant the holy name. Life, life, life will never be the same.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Chandra,
Thank you. Godru Magoda, Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya's verses, Hare Krishna. He certainly worked himself up on appetite, Hare Krishna. So chant the holy name. Life will never be the same. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.